Gracious Lord, lead me home.
You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and that's on your pew Bible page number 772. Listen to God's word. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can ensure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40, on Pew Bible page 828. Children of God, let us listen to God's word. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is God's word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, for the guidance it gives, for the leading in our lives you have shown for all of us. Gracious God, may your word light our paths and guide us in the days that are to come. when we are lost, may it show us the way and help us as we seek to serve you in this world of ours that you have called us to be your servants in. May the blessings of our hearts and the meditations of our minds be a holy offering to you. In your name we pray. Amen. In case you're wondering, the lack of robe is not intentional. It's what happens when you go to a special service in the classes and leave it in your wife's van. Now, at first glance, as we read our scripture, there's a checking of the boxes that seems to happen with Mary and Joseph. Very important steps, not just in their lives, but in God's plan. Jesus goes for three purposes. Well, his family goes for three purposes. The first is his circumcision. Then there's the rite of the redemption of the firstborn. And then, lastly, but not least, is the purification of Mary after childbirth. All of these are necessary steps of the covenant community of believers that had been laid out for Moses. It's a normal part and process. And you see this element of having to schedule and set it out, since Jerusalem isn't exactly an hour's drive in the car away from Nazareth. You have to plan it and lay it out and set it up so that you can make it there. Every step taken here is building towards Jesus' later ministry, even though he's this little tiny squishy baby. The fact is, doing things in this way sets things up for later for his ministry. Now, in this normal family moment, something or some things extraordinary happen. As God sets out this plan, which is extremely important, because consider, if Jesus is going and ministering and the attacks come from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and he hasn't had his circumcision, if he wasn't purified as a firstborn, what is the very first attack that would be made against him? Hey, you don't listen to Jesus. He wasn't circumcised. And then it begins. Jesus has to then justify why he is not circumcised. He has to do this and that and check all the boxes for them. By doing things in this way, the conversation is directed towards his ministry, towards what he is doing, and not towards what had happened when he was so little and tiny. But then comes this moment where Jesus is acclaimed and proclaimed, where Jesus is announced to the world. And it's just a wonderful moment with Anna and Simeon, where these two who have waited for him see him, and their joy overflows. Now, as I read about this, as I read this again, I've come to the realization that there's actually a definition for Simeon and Anna, or at least a cultural setting place. The quiet of the land. What a title. Now, to understand this group is to look at these two people's lives, how faithfully day in and day out they waited, not with worry and fear and the tension that comes with waiting, but as if they are just going to do what they have to do every day. Anna is in the temple every day waiting for God, waiting to see Christ. And yet her world is not filled with the tension of waiting, of, like I said to the kids, sitting there on the front stoop, waiting impatiently. She worships, she prays, she fasts. And that's her world as she patiently waits. Simeon continually is this righteous man, continually as he waits for that moment. They are, in a lot of ways, that those people who in faith are playing checks when everyone's playing checkers. They are on that, just that different level, because all around them, people are angry, agitated as they wait for the Messiah. They want him to come. They are acting in such ways to try and force God's hand to bring the Messiah to being. They are doing everything they can to try and force God to do something. Sort of like when kids keep on asking you something, either until they get in trouble or until you give in. Then we have the false prophets that existed throughout the land, all of them claiming to be the Messiah. And everyone is so ready, on the edge of their seats, for the Messiah, that they don't follow all of the pieces and all of the warnings that might be there. But instead, you have the quiet of the land, those individuals who go about their days as if today or tomorrow could be the day, but it could not be. And so until that day, they are living in that lovely place of worship and living out. We know very little about these two faithful people. We know of their devout faith, of their righteousness, but really that's about it. We know that they are great and faithful people, but we also know that God has made a promise to them. We know Anna's age, but Simeon could have had this promise, as we portray in books and commentaries often. He's always seen as this older man, but we don't know how long he's waited. We assume that it's for a while. Anna is 84. She's been widowed since probably her early to mid-20s. And day in and day out, they faithfully come before God and wait for the day they long for, the day promised. A waiting game is not easy. There's a reason we have phrases like "a watched pot will never boil." We create tracking numbers for packages so that we can see that it's down at the post office and it was delivered already, but we can't go get it. That's why we message our family members when they're on a road trip saying, "Where are you?" "Somewhere." "No, where are you? What town? Where? I need to know. I need to know where you are. I need to know how long I have before the house has to be cleaned by." If we're waiting for a restaurant, we can't just sit down and wait. We have to have these little buzzers they give us now as we wait. And when it goes off, everybody's excited and going there because we don't wait well. I remember telling Liam what dial-up internet used to be. And he looks at me with equal parts amazement, but also a lot of pity. "Oh, you had to wait for stuff like that, Dad? Oh, that stinks." The fact is, can we even imagine being in Simeon and Anna's sandals? Getting up every day, faithfully, going every day with this longing and waiting as if your heart would burst within it. but being able to hold that waiting, joy, that tension. Could we, like Anna does, live and fast and pray continually in the temple, holding on to that tension, waiting for that day when the Spirit would give you just a nudge, as if to say, hey, he's right over there. When we meet them, their patience, faithfulness, and hope all stand out because they've been longing for this day. For Simeon, we read his song of joy, and it just moves through us. Lord, you are now dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. You can hear the joy, the relief, the release in that. Anna doesn't have a song of joy, but her relief is just as palpable as Simeon's. She comes in praising God for this child to any and everyone there. Can you imagine just running around telling everyone in the sanctuary how joyful you were at this little baby you've never met before? I mean, some of the grandparents and parents might understand this a little bit, but it's not her child that she's so joyful of. Simeon and Anna present this confluence of moments, this coming together. The first piece is the promises of God and how they have waited and longed for them to happen. On the other part, there's this concept of the quiet of the land, which honestly, why aren't we more familiar with this? Why aren't we more understanding of this impressive place of peace? This group didn't spark revolutions or bring about the Messiah, but they waited patiently, day in and day out. They aren't just an outlier in our world, their sense of peace, but they were an outlier in their world as well. There is the bliss of the joy felt in this moment, all coming together. And so as we see this moment play out, we see the reality of this moment. Because they both know what is and what will be. We see Simeon's blessing, not the song, but the blessing after, in which he relates to Mary the full weight of what this child will do. He's got all of the joy at seeing the Messiah in this moment balanced together with the reality of what it means. The sword that will pierce Mary's heart. The sword that will be the cross. And when Christ took the sin of the world with him. They bridge together the hope to Simeon and Anna, the hope and expectations of the coming of the Messiah, but the difficulties that come with it, the patience and waiting. It's that almost knowing smile that some parents of older children give to parents with newer children. Just wait. They're quiet now. Just wait. Just wait. You think it's hard now? You think it's wonderful now? Just wait. They know of the sleepless nights, the sorrows and tears, the highs and the lows, the joys and celebrations. It's hard to see this moment play out. There's so much going on from the three steps being followed by Mary and Joseph to the different acclamations by Simeon and Anna. There's so much going on. But in this moment, we see the preparation that God is setting forth, the preparation that God is making every step along here towards the cross and the empty tomb. We see the promises of God being held, being fulfilled in this moment, in Anna and Simeon's joy. The reality is that Simeon and Anna present for all of us an example. Not one that we can't attain or reach, but one that we can work towards and live into. That sense of joy in Christ for what we have. That sense of presence as you wait and live out in moments here and there and at all times when you wait for God, when you wait for God to act. That patience as you live a life trusting in God in his promises, having the patience to live day in and day out, waiting on God to act. Waiting and serving God every moment, every day, every time. Simeon and Anna aren't exactly playing chess when everybody is playing checkers. They're common people who are able to trust in God and live out their calling. They're an example for us to live into. May we live into their patience, their joy, and their comfort, brothers and sisters. Amen.